Well, in a world full of turmoil and strife, we could use a little bit of peace. Our Lord tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And we do eagerly await for the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, to come one day, and he will truly bring a lasting peace for us. Well, our call to worship was from the book of Galatians, and our scripture reading today, before we worship through the Word, is also in the book of Galatians. Just going to read two verses from Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 and 5. So Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And if you have it, and if you're willing and able, usually I'll ask you to stand out of honor of God's holy and inspired word. What a blessed thing it is that we have many copies of God's inspired word, and that God has been pleased to speak to us, and that his words have been inscripturated and written down so that we can have them. So Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And let's take another occasion to pray. Our Father, we do thank you for life and breath this day, that we could be gathered together here in this place on your day to give attention to your word and to your praise and worship. Father, we would ask for your smiles upon our time, and Lord, I would ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing to you and edifying to those that are here. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I read an article a few weeks ago. I'm somewhat of a news junkie, and in kind of perusing the news headlines, I saw and I read this article that called into question the biblical account of our Lord's birthplace. If I remember correctly, this article was written by someone who claimed to be a pastor. And this pastor said that the scriptures were somewhat confusing and in many places contradicting each other when it spoke of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and where exactly that Jesus Christ was from. In fact, he said that the gospel writers themselves were unsure of where our Lord Jesus Christ was from. You see, you know, when you read the scriptures and the gospel accounts, was he from Nazareth, or was he from Bethlehem, or was he from Egypt? And so this writer called into question the biblical account. In fact, even in the scriptures themselves, there was a little bit of confusion on this. Some unbelievers in John chapter 9 and verse number 29, they said, hey, we don't even know where this guy is from. And so there was a little bit of a confusion on this. And, you know, it is somewhat of a shame that during this season of the year, that oftentimes this time of the year is things are used to combat biblical truth and things that are clearly spelled out within God's holy and inspired word. In fact, Christendom itself sometimes is guilty of clouding the clarity around the birth of our Lord, because sometimes in the church that we're prone to kind of to condense the gospel account so that it fits nicely onto a postcard. And so, you know, we take the several events that are mentioned in the accounts in Matthew and the account in Luke, and we take these several events that happened over months and years, and we want to cram them together as though they all happened in just one night, the night of his birth. And so today, what we're going to do, and I'm going to attempt to try to unpack the early years of our Lord and to answer the question of where Jesus Christ of Nazareth was from. Because what was he from Nazareth? Was he from Bethlehem? Was he from Egypt? Where does the Bible say that he is from? And so to begin our time, I want to say really when we start, we got to say he's really not from any of those places because ultimately Jesus Christ is from heaven. That is where Jesus Christ is from. Jesus Christ did not begin in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is not the beginning of the story of the Eternal One, the Son of God. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem, but Jesus Christ did not begin in Bethlehem. The Old Testament, the prophet Micah gave us the prophecy in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. We read, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity." So here the Old Testament prophet affirms and prophesies that yes, the little town of Bethlehem is going to be the birthplace of the ruler of Israel, the one that God would send, that would go forth from God. But he is not from Bethlehem initially. It says here that he is from long ago, long before even the time of the prophet Micah. In fact, Micah says that his goings forth are from eternity. Jesus Christ comes from eternity because he is the eternal one, the one who has no beginning. And this one who had no beginning is the one who was to be born in Bethlehem. He did not begin in Bethlehem, though he was born in Bethlehem. And that is an amazing thing for us to think about as far as where the Lord Jesus Christ is from. He's from eternity. He is from heaven itself because Jesus Christ, as he also affirmed, he said that he came from heaven. John chapter 3 and verse number 13, Jesus says that no one ever ascended into heaven. He says no one ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, that is the Son of Man. He says, no one's ever gone up into heaven, but one did descend and come from heaven. That is he himself, the Son of Man. He said it also very clearly in John chapter 6 and verse number 38. For Jesus said that I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but due to the will of him who sent me. That the Son of God was sent and he came from heaven, as he was sent by the Father. In this same chapter, in John chapter 6 and verse number 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. I mean, Jesus Christ essentially said, he said, I am the bread of heaven. I am the real manna that God the Father sent for life of the world. Jesus Christ is from heaven. He was sent by the Father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit within the womb of Mary. But he came from heaven. And we must not leave out that aspect of where our Lord was from. So to answer that, a skeptic of a pastor, where was the Lord Jesus from? He's from heaven. But the scripture not only affirms that Jesus was from heaven, but it also, of course, affirms that he was from Bethlehem. That was his birthplace. The first seven verses of Luke chapter 2 gives us the account of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It came about because there was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that there was to be a census of the whole land. And looking at some of the books that I had, they say that this census probably happened in the year 9 BC, and that Rome had this 14-year cycle where every 14 years they would do a census. Like in our own land, we do a census every 10 years. Well, Rome did one every 14 years, and here in one of these censuses, the people were required to return to their hometown to register, I guess ostensibly so that they could pay a tax. And Joseph and Mary, who I guess at that time was living in the town of Nazareth to fulfill this census and maybe to pay their tax, they had to take a trip from Nazareth, which was in the north of Israel, and they took a 90-mile trip to Bethlehem, his hometown. And Bethlehem's about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And so they take this journey while Mary is a pregnant and great with child, but they travel from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem. It would be kind of equivalent to us going from here to Ardmore. Now I don't know about you, but man, if I had to walk from Oklahoma City to Ardmore just to register for a tax, I mean, that would be a big bummer, you know. But here this young couple, and the wife is pregnant. They take this 90-mile trip from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and the scripture tells us that it was in the town of Bethlehem is where Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born to fulfill the words of the prophet Micah. And while they were in Bethlehem, of course, that's when our Lord was born. You remember that the scripture says that there was no room for them in the inn. And so he was born in a stable and in a manger. And really, you know, sometimes I think maybe that the innkeeper gets some bad press. I don't really think he was a mean guy. It's just that there was a lot of people in town for the census and to pay their taxes and to do what the government had said. And so he had a no vacancy sign on the motels. They were all filled up. And so there was no room for him because of the crowds of people that were in Bethlehem. And it was at that time that our Lord Jesus Christ was born. Now, the scriptures do not indicate the date of our Lord's birth. But you know, the verse that I read from Galatians 4, it does tell us the time. It says that it was at just the right time. That it was at the fullness of time that God sent his Son from heaven to be born of woman, to be born under the law, that the timing of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect time within history to send his Son from heaven to be born at Bethlehem. It was the perfect time, just the right time, in the fullness of time to fulfill all the prophecies that the Old Testament prophets had uttered, and also the perfect time to settle our destiny. To send his Son at just the right time to be born in Bethlehem so that we could have the adoption of sons. Just an amazing thing how God works all throughout history to bring about the destiny of our salvation. Now, the biblical account of our Lord's birth that happened in this little town of Bethlehem, in fact, it's in Luke chapter 2. Again, Luke records some events of our Lord's conception and birth in the first two chapters. Matthew does the same in the first two chapters of his birth, but the night of his birth, let me just read this in Luke chapter 2 verses 9 to 12. We see that an angel appears at the time of his birth and appears to some of these shepherds. Listen to Luke chapter 2 verses 9 and following. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now here we see that this one angel comes to these shepherds to announce this good news to them. And then after he announces this news and the glory is kind of shining all about him, suddenly the one angel is joined by a whole company of angels. You read the next two verses in verse 13 and following, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Here's our peace on earth comes with the Prince of Peace coming in into the world. But here this one angel is joined by the host of angels, and the one angel comes and the glory of God shines around him, and then the host, I guess this glory is just maybe exponentially more. And you know, just in thinking about this, I kind of wonder if this glory that happens when the angel and then this group of angels appears to the shepherds, if this is actually the star that was seen by the magicians who were in the east. You remember that they said that they saw this star, and then when they eventually show up, the star goes over to the house to where Jesus was. But I wonder if this could be this star that they saw, this glory of the angels, who in the scripture are often called and referred to as stars. Maybe this is what the Magi from the east saw, this amazing event of the angels before the shepherds. Well, when the shepherds get this news on the night of his birth, the frightened shepherds go and they find the baby just as they had been told by the angels. He's lying in a manger, and they go, and then after they see this sight and get this confirmation, the scripture says that they go and they spread this word all about. They go and tell. Because you know, when the Eternal One, when the one who comes from heaven, when the Eternal One steps into time in Bethlehem at just the right time, that's some good news worth telling. And so the shepherds go and do so, as they go and they spread the word that the King has indeed come, that the Eternal One has stepped into time, the one who is from heaven is now to be said to be from Bethlehem. But while he is in Bethlehem and from Bethlehem, being born there, the scripture goes on and kind of tells us the rest of the story and the things that happened in Bethlehem. Because the scripture details don't end at the manger scene when it talks about our Lord's birth and of his first earthly residence, if you will. In fact, look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. This is right after the angels came, and they came to the shepherds, and the shepherds go and they see the baby Jesus within the manger. And then the account continues, Luke 2:21, "And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So here we have some additional elements to the early life of our Lord after he came from heaven, born in Bethlehem. Now we're told that at 8 days old, he was circumcised and he was given the name Jesus. Here we have a great picture of the events of as our Lord begins to fulfill the words that I read to begin of the message today from Galatians chapter 4, that God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. Do you know that the law required for the males to be circumcised at 8 days old? This was something that was to show the people that, you know, there's something wrong with man, even from the very beginning. When we come out of the womb, that there's something wrong with us that literally needs to be cut off. And so to fulfill the law, this must be done. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, God, when He sent His Son from heaven to come into the world, and He came to Bethlehem at 8 days old, He begins to fulfill the law, to do the very things that are required for us. Because, you know, when He was born in Bethlehem, He was born to obey. And our Lord Jesus Christ obeyed in coming when He came, and then was conceived in the womb of Mary, and when He was born in the likeness of men. And you know that the scripture says in Romans 8 and verse 3, that says when He came in the likeness of sinful men. He came looking just like us, and to fulfill the law that we are required to fulfill. And so God sent His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And so Jesus comes in the likeness of sinful flesh, and at 8 days old, He is fulfilling the law on our behalf. And it was at this monumentous occasion that He was given the name Jesus. The name that the angel told Joseph that, hey, don't worry about marrying Mary, because the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and you're to give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. And from the earliest moments and the earliest days of our Lord's life in Bethlehem, Jesus begins to fulfill the law for us at 8 days old. Well, the text goes on to talk about when His time in Bethlehem. He was born at just the right time. At 8 days old, they traveled the 5 miles to, that time they went to Jerusalem, but we know that as the story continues, at 40 days old, they traveled the 5 miles up to Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph take the young child Jesus, a month and a half old, to Jerusalem. This is recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. And they take Him up there because the law required it. And this was for purification after childbirth, as well as a dedication for the firstborn of the Lord. Every woman that gave birth to a male child, they were to wait 40 days, and then they were to go through this purification rite. And the firstborn male was to be dedicated to the Lord in fulfillment of what happened the night of the Passover, because God passed over all the firstborn of Israel. And so all the firstborn males were to be given over to God. So Mary and Joseph take the 40-day-old Jesus, and they go to Jerusalem to fulfill this. And they offer the sacrifices that are required. And it's at this time that we know that this young family is rather poor, because the law stipulated in Leviticus 12 and verse 8 that if a family could not afford a lamb for this purification rite, that they could offer a couple of doves, a couple of pigeons. And Luke tells us that's exactly what they offered, that they offered these pigeons because they were poor. And so while they're in Jerusalem at this purification and dedication, we meet another couple interesting characters in the early life of our Lord. We see a Simeon and Anna, who are in the temple, and Simeon sees the baby Jesus, the 40-day-old Jesus, and he goes over and he snatches up the month and a half old Christ, and he takes Him in his arms, and he says, "Lord, now I can die, now I can depart in peace, because I have seen Your salvation." And he gives a great little four-part sermon. You might read it there in Luke chapter 2. He gives this great four-part sermon about the mission of the Christ child. And then this prophetess comes over, Anna, and she kind of confirms. And she says some things about this 40-day-old child who was from heaven but was born in Bethlehem and now is being dedicated in Jerusalem. So I take it that after this time, after the circumcision at 8 days and the dedication at 40 days, that they go back to live in Bethlehem, Mary, Joseph, as well as the young child, Jesus. And then this is kind of where Matthew picks up the story, because Matthew tells us that at some point, a group of magi, a group of magicians, a group of wise men, show up in Bethlehem, or actually they show up in Jerusalem, looking for the Christ child, looking for this one who had been born King of the Jews. And in kind of putting a two to two together and connecting the dots, we kind of figure that this could have been maybe about 2 years after the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, Matthew says that it was after that Jesus Christ was born, that after Jesus was born, that these guys show up in Jerusalem inquiring about this one who had been born King of the Jews. And at that time, when they're asking these questions and they talk to King Herod about what's going on, they actually give the timing of when they saw the star initially. They see this great sight into the heavens, and we know that it was 2 years before they showed up, because they give this timing to Herod. They said, hey, we saw this star 2 years ago, and when Herod was deceived by these guys, that's why he goes off when he wants to kill the Christ child, and he kills all the children there that were 2 years old and younger. So we say, guessing, maybe 2 years after his birth, this group of wise men show up in Jerusalem, looking for the one born King of the Jews, and then they're directed to go to Bethlehem. Now, we don't really know the number of these magi that showed up. You know, in our condensed version, we say there were three wise men, but really, it probably wasn't three. It's probably a whole lot more than three. I remember listening to J. Vernon McGee several years ago, and he said, you know, three really wouldn't do it. You know, because here these guys show up in the metropolis of Jerusalem, and they cause a big stir. And three guys showing up in Jerusalem, you know, nobody's going to take notice of it. He said, you know, it wasn't three. He said it could have been 300 guys showing up, because it causes a big stir. And they're asking questions about this one who had been born a king. And so we have this group of wise men that show up in Jerusalem, and then they're directed, hey, go to Bethlehem, because that's where the king is to be born. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, these group of wise men, it says that the star went over, and it went over the house, and it says that they entered the house. It didn't say that they entered the manger or the manger scene. It says that they entered the house and they saw the child. You know, in our condensed version, we put the three wise men at a manger scene along with the shepherds, and that fits great on a postcard, but that's not the way that it happened. The night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the shepherds were there, and maybe 2 years later, these guys show up. We don't know how many of them there were. They say that, oh, maybe there was three, but there wasn't three guys, there were three gifts that they gave the young family. They gave the Christ child, this one born King of the Jews who came from heaven and was born in Bethlehem. And when he was in Bethlehem, he received these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And God, at just the right time, just like he was born at just the right time, he sends these magi with a gift at just the right time, because on that very night, after the gifts were given, this young family was to pick up and they were to move again. This poor family that couldn't afford a lamb, and all they could get was a couple of pigeons. Yet now here, this group of magicians, they load this family up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and it funded their overnight move to their next residence, which was in Egypt. And so Jesus Christ was from heaven. He was from Bethlehem. And then the night that the wise men leave, after they leave, this family, Joseph was warned by an angel that Herod was going to seek to try to kill the child. And so they were to leave. They were to get up and they were to go to Egypt. And so they abruptly pick up their young family, a Mary, Joseph, a Jesus, you know, maybe a 2 years age or so. Matthew tells us in Matthew 2 and verse number 14. And so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night, and he left for Egypt. I mean, imagine this, you know, after these guys show up at your house and they load you down with all this gold and frankincense and myrrh, and then they leave, and then you get a dream in the middle of the night, and then you wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Hey, honey, we're moving right now, and we're going to Egypt." I mean, imagine this. I mean, but they obey, they get up, and they head to Egypt. And all the gifts that these wise men loaded down on the young family, they funded this move from Bethlehem to Egypt. And even in doing so, in them getting all these gifts from the wise men, it also mimics something that happened earlier to the people of God. You remember when the people of God left in the Exodus from Egypt? And the night before, when the Passover, the firstborn, the night before, and then they were to ask all the Egyptians for some gold. And they were to plunder the Egyptians. They were to take all this stuff that was to fund their move from Egypt up into the promised land. And so they left Egypt full of all this gold and stuff. Well, here in kind of a another illustration of this, Jesus, the night before his exodus from Bethlehem, he's loaded down, his family is loaded down with all of these goods, and it funds their move to Egypt. Now we think, you know, when did this happen? Well, the scripture tells us that they were in Egypt until the death of Herod. Matthew 2 and verse number 15, he remained there in Egypt until the death of Herod, and that was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So like I said, we don't know many of the details that happened in Egypt, but we know that he was there, and he was there until the death of Herod. Now, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Herod died in the year 4 BC. Now, if the census that moved Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem to register for the census and where Jesus was born, if that census was in 9 BC, then it would have been about 5 years later by the time that Herod died. And so, you know, where was Jesus from? Well, he was from heaven, from eternity. He was born in Bethlehem, probably in Bethlehem, for maybe about a period of 2 years. And then they abruptly move overnight, and they move to Egypt. They move loaded with the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And they stay in Egypt about 3 years. It's kind of a guess, just kind of trying to connect some dots from what they say in history. But we know that they moved from Bethlehem to Egypt, and then after the death of Herod, they move again out of Egypt, and they move to Nazareth. So Jesus was from eternity. Jesus was from Bethlehem. Jesus was from Egypt. Maybe they lived there for about a period of 2 years, and then after they leave Egypt, we can say that he was from Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, because the scripture tells us, just read it in Matthew 2, verses 22 and 23, "But when he," that is Joseph, "heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And then, after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee, and he came and he lived in a city called Nazareth. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" So So here you have this young married couple, this young married, this young family, and they go full circle. He starts off in Nazareth, where I guess he was living, forced by a census to go down to Bethlehem, where the Christ child was born. After staying there a couple of years, he was warned, and so he moves to Egypt for maybe 2 or 3 years. And then after that, he moves from Egypt, and they move to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. At the end of Luke chapter 2, we see this, that there he was in Nazareth, where he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So, to contradict what this pastor in his little article piece saying that the scriptures are confusing and contradicting with each other on where Jesus Christ was from, I would beg to differ. Because I think the scriptures are pretty clear where he is from. If you just kind of take the accounts and you shuffle them together, that Jesus Christ was from heaven. He is from eternity. That is where he is from. And at just the right time, at the fullness of time, at the perfect time in history, God sent forth his son, born of a woman and born under the law. And he was born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ is from Bethlehem. It was there that he was born. It was there that he got his name that describes his mission, that he would save his people from their sins. It was there that he begins to fulfill the law for us, as is testified by Simeon and by Anna. And after living in Bethlehem for a couple of years, and after the wise men leave, they pick up and they leave and they move to Egypt for, I guess, a few years, or until the death of Herod. And so Jesus Christ was from Egypt, because out of Egypt God calls his son. Again, prefiguring the Exodus and what we read in the Old Testament. And then after leaving Egypt and coming back into the promised land, they stay up in Nazareth. And so Jesus Christ is from Nazareth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's from heaven. He's from Bethlehem. He's from Egypt. And he's from Nazareth. But you know, these are important questions for us to think about, and maybe interesting at this time of the year to consider, but maybe a more personal question for us after we answer where Jesus Christ is from is maybe for us to ask ourselves, where are we going? That is a personal question that we ought to consider, because he came, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem those that were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. I hope on this day that you know where Christ is from, but I also hope that you know where you're going. And so we're going to close with just a concluding hymn of invitation. What are we singing? Have Thine Own Way. So why don't we stand, and then we'll...
Thine own way, Lord,
have thine way.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While
hope you're glad to be in this place on this last Lord's Day of this this year, that you have a blessed rest of your day, and that you'll get to rest. Do not come back here tonight, because we will not be here. We'll forego our evening services, but I hope you have an enjoyable and maybe a worshipful time at home. And I hope that today was encouraging as we think about and have thought about where our Lord is from. Well, we'll be dismissed with a concluding word of benediction. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, and may the Lord be gracious to you. May He turn His face towards you, and may you have peace on this day and in all of your days, and on that great day. Amen and amen. And you are dismissed.